Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Well, my talk for you this morning, autumn leaves, God doesn't. Autumn leaves. Yeah, we're going to enjoy them, the colors that are changing out here and everything like that, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek for you to see what's going on with all the colors. But more importantly, what I wanted to share with you is that aspect of God that Marilyn was talking about as the omnipresence. But I want to have a few more omnis for you as we go along today, because I just want to share with you that you know that the laws of nature are our laws. And that was Emerson that says that. If we just sit there and look around and see everything that's happening in nature, they're actually our laws as well. And so that's exactly what's happening with all the leaves that are changing colors and everything like that. So we're going to talk about a few omnis. I'm not going to talk about the Omni downtown. How many of you remember the ice skating rink inside the Omni? Oh, there's more of you than I thought. Okay. How many of you have been down there for Tuba Christmas? Tuba Christmas. Somebody raised their hand down there. It's absolutely wonderful. Look to see when they have Tuba Christmas down there, because it actually echoes through that whole chamber in there. They've got all the tuba players from around town going in there and playing Tuba Christmas carols, and it's absolutely spectacular. But that's not the Omni I want to talk about. I want to talk about first starting off with autumn leaves, and then we'll move into the omnis that I would like to talk about. But I thought for sure those fall colors were going to be here, you know, mid-October, at least by Halloween, and they weren't here yet. They just weren't coming in down here. So I made it a point the week before to head up to Highlands, North Carolina, just to see the splendor, and sure enough, they were in their splendor. But the autumn leaves, you know, are always on time with the universe. I was the one that wanted to throw my personal observation onto autumn that you weren't here yet. So I'm going to go do something about it. So I drive up north and go see that. But we all throw our personal observation on about, like, our money's not coming to us at exactly the correct time. Or our health is not showing up the way that we want it to show up on time. We always think that we need to do something about that. The love of my life is not here yet. So maybe I need to go to Highlands and see if there's the love of my life is up there. Let me push things forward a little bit. My dream job is not here yet. We all throw our schedule onto the universe. When the universe is just humming along perfectly, and the universe is always on time. And you always have to have that information with you. But with the leaves, just what is it that we're seeing? In actuality, when the colors of the leaves show up, this is their true colors. When you actually see the yellow leaves that are out there, the yellow has been underneath the green ever since those leaves sprouted out in the spring. But the green has been there and it's been masking it all the time. What we see in the spring, what we see all summer long, is another aspect of the leaf. It's the chlorophyll. The leaf is producing. The leaf is doing its fulfillment. But when that aspect stops, the true self that's been there all the time starts showing up. It's allowed to come through. It's been golden yellow all summer long. It's been orange all summer long. One tree in my block on one side is beautiful red and the other is maroon. It's really spectacular that the same tree has the two different colors, but it's allowing that to come through. All of those colors are underneath the work product of the leaf. The work product of doing what it is to be doing, which is producing chlorophyll, taking in CO2, letting oxygen out. And when it has accomplished that which it was here to do, it lets go of its individualized aspect of itself, and we see the universal aspect of itself that's been there all the time. The individualized aspect of why it was here, then later in time showing the universal that was there all the time. And as I said, it was Emerson who said, look at those laws and understand those laws, because those laws of nature are our laws. The same laws in effect for us. The minute we come into the spring of our lives, the minute that we are born, guess what? We start producing chlorophyll. We start trying to be here, what it is that our fulfillment is, that we're here for. And so we turn this green color and we just go through the majority of our life just understanding that. And we just start producing all of this chlorophyll. The minute we are born, we start expressing this individualized aspect of the universe that we came here to be, and we start producing chlorophyll or whatever it is that you're here producing. And the chlorophyll is beautiful. Within each one of us, what we're here to express is absolutely beautiful. We look around at each other and say, my, you have a nice complexion of chlorophyll. We look around and say to each other, congratulations on your O2 output. You get a bonus because you put out more oxygen than all the other leaves have on there. So we've done that. We look around and say, you don't look so good. You've got aphids. We're impressed with the chlorophyll-producing aspects of ourselves and those around us that we forget. We forget the vibrant red that's underneath. We forget the orange that's underneath, the gold that's underneath. The underneath is the substance of us, not the chlorophyll. We forget what the substance of us is. The substance that is underneath is the truth about ourselves. The chlorophyll is the fact about ourselves. The truth about ourselves is underneath. The fact about ourselves is what you're seeing right here. We are truth and fact all rolled into one. We're cause and effect all rolled into one. And the two are pretty much dependent on each other. You need your substance, that which is underneath, to express the individual. That golden leaf needs that foundation in order to express the green and the chlorophyll and everything that it's here for its fulfillment. It needs that. So the two of them come together. And when autumn leaves, when we turn from autumn to winter and the leaves fall away, it isn't the death of the leaf. Something happens. It's the same thing. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It goes back to the nothingness from whence it came. In reality, when the unique individualized aspect of the chlorophyll producing aspect is complete, the base aspect is complete as well with the individualized aspect. The two of them have come together expressing as this, expressing as David, expressing as Marilyn, expressing as Monica. But then as it stops expressing as Monica or David or Marilyn, that goes away. But then my base, it kind of goes away, but back to the nothingness from which it came to only come out as something else, as spirit. Something else as God. The universal and the individual, we say that they're two different things. We say that that base aspect of us is one thing and that this as David is another, but they're not. They're one and the same. And so it was Thomas Troward, this great British judge of the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he is one of the main aspects of our teaching. You know, Ernest Holmes taught us that everything, all is love and all is law. And so when Ernest Holmes says that, he understands what the love aspect is, but the law aspect he got from Judge Thomas Troward. So in our classes and everything, we do a class on Troward. But he talks about the law aspect of it. Troward explains this individual universal aspect in ourselves very well on an essay that I just read last week on mind and hand. In this essay, he says, we really aren't circles. You know how everybody talks of us as a circle or something like that. When you see yin and yang, it's exactly a perfect circle with the yin and the yang linked together. They're all saying the same thing, that the two of those are one. Troward says we're more like an ellipse. We're more like two circles that are just stretched a little bit. And so what he says is it's a figure having two conjugate foci. Two conjugate foci. Now, if you know me, I get excited when Troward says about the conjugate foci. I understand the law. I understand what he's talking about on here. There's two equilibrated centers of revolution rather than just one. So they make this ellipse, the two aspects that are going together. One, which is the willpower, which he talks about, or the faculty of doing, the chlorophyll aspect of the leaf, the chlorophyll aspect of us, and the other is the consciousness or perception of being. It's the presence of God that is there all the time, what Marilyn was sharing with us. Those are the two centers that are both circulating, both of them pulling together and coming out in this ellipse that Troer said. One is willpower, the faculty of doing, the chlorophyll aspect of us. One is the consciousness of being, the God consciousness, the substance of us, the red, the orange. If we realize only one of these two centers, we're going to be out of balance. If we lose sight of our personal will, we become, this is what Troward says, flabby visionaries without any backbone. Because if we lose our will and start saying the creative aspect of me is this and the creative aspect of that, if I don't start allowing the will of me to come through, an individualized aspect of God, I just start agreeing doing what everybody else is doing. I just buy into being the law of averages is what I do. I don't come out and state anything differently. If we just go along with the other folks, we become this average person. And if we lose our individual center, we become victims. We start realizing I'm a victim of all of these things. So the way I say this is some people will say, and I don't want to say which family members they are, but they say, God wants me to learn something from this. So God is challenging me, and I just shake my head. They know I'm a minister. They know I want to jump on them and try to shake them out on that, that God doesn't challenge any of us. God doesn't want you to learn anything from the torment. But what we do is we let go of the conjugate foci of our individual self, and we're just looking at the conjugate foci of God, thinking, God wants me to learn from this. God wants to, I'm supposed to be tormented in here. We let go of the individual foci that's over here that's trying to express all the time, but we don't even allow it to be through. We think it's all that God is doing this and God is doing that. God is challenging me. So we let go of that. And this is not living life to its fullest when we let go of just who we are, our individual will, that I'm just supposed to be like everybody else. But what about the other side? What if we shut down the omnipresence aspect and just have my will aspect, my individual go? What if I just start becoming the biggest guy with the biggest ego ever? What if I start just being very arrogant and allow this foci to start going on all the time? So what we start losing is that we've lost a lot of definition that's coming in. Marilyn did such a good job saying, I don't even have to introduce what's ready to happen. And so Monica just started playing, and it wasn't, we couldn't say all the words of what could play. Something greater came out than all of that. So if my individual foci is all about saying, Monica is going to play this, this is what we're going to experience, this is how you're going to love it, and she is one of the best harpists in the city. So I've set all that up. I didn't allow what Marilyn allowed to come in, that there was something so much more trying to come in for our experience of her music than me trying to say what's going on. So we lose that sense of all that that's going in there. We'll lose a lot if we just are always in this individual foci so much. We don't sense the vitality of all life through all things. We're not going to be aware of the abundance of life that's coming through us. The ever-present God is trying to show us an abundant, abundant, abundant universe. But I'm over here saying, I know what abundance is. I know how it shows up in my life. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And if I'm over here and just being so ego-driven with that, I'm not allowing this foci to come into my life at all. And believe it or not, abundance is trying to come at you from 360 degrees. Abundance is trying to come at you at 360 degrees. But my individual foci, I'm over here, I know how I'm going to become abundant. I'm going to focus on the 1 degree, and I'm going to block out the other 359 degrees. So the minute that you start understanding what's going on and what you're doing and blocking all that out, we need to realize that. We must realize the one foci of our individuality as clearly as the foci of our universality. We need to recognize both of those. We need to stand tall in both of those in that ellipse and understand what's going on. For the leaf to express its fullest potential, it must recognize its individual aspect of what it's here to do to produce chlorophyll, but at the same time understanding underneath is the red leaf, the universal, the substance. Another New Thought pioneer was Emily Cady that said, God is the substance. God is the substance. From sub, which is under, and stare, to stand. God is the substance, or the real thing standing under every visible form of life. The real thing standing under every visible form of life. The real thing standing underneath you. How can you understand what that is? There is a real thing standing underneath you. We forget that part. We forget the real thing that is underneath. We forget that I'm these two conjugate folk guy. We forget to announce the I am aspect of us. We forget to say the I of me is the universal, the am of me is the individual. So we learn through reading the Bible and things like that, we need to stand up and announce the I am of me is who's showing up. Abraham asked God who he's supposed to say sent him. And God said, you say the I am sent you. Because Abraham's sitting there going, saying, if I say Abraham showed up, they're just going to laugh at me. They just know I'm just this guy. All that he sensed was his individual foci. He wasn't focusing on his universal foci at the same time. The universal aspect of himself. So God is saying, go and announce the I am of me is showing up. Both of those things are showing up. That's who is showing up. I am the red and the green showing up. So I am the standing under David and David. When I understand that. So you get to leave here this morning and you get to tell all your friends what you learned in church today. The minister was talking about something about conjugating foci and all that bit. But just let them think you're crazy. That's okay. Do the best you can to describe it. But you know what? We have the am part down. We have the individualized part down. The am part of you, the chlorophyll producing you, you have it down pat. When I ask about you, you tell me your name. You tell me what you do for a living. Some will tell me about their health, but most will tell me about the lack thereof. Some will tell me about how rich they are, but most of them will tell me about the lack thereof. Some will tell me about their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their husband, their wife. Some will tell me about their boyfriend and their girlfriend. But you know what? Most will tell me about the lack thereof. Some people are going to tell me their sign. I can look around the room and I can point out about 6 Scorpios right now sitting in here. So we have the am part down really well. You'll even tell me everything that's happened to your am part for the last 30, 40, 50 years. You've got that down really well as well. You have that story. You have the am conjugating foci. And the good news about that is the I conjugating foci is there all the time. It is there. Whether it's good or bad, it is our substance. That which is standing under. God, law, omnipresence. That is there all the time. But if I stand out there in the lobby and I ask you about the I aspect of you, you stumble. You don't know how to say that. You don't know how to talk about the universal aspect of you. So how many in here have their am part really down? Down really well? We all kind of do. Please, a few hands on the I part of me. Can you tell me the I part of you? Rita, thanks. But most of the time we stumble. We stumble, we flounder. We won't have a list like you do with the am part of you. So after today, I want you to have a fervent answer ready for you when I ask you about the I aspect of you. I want you to truly understand what these two things that Thomas Troward is talking about all the time. But you know what? Our society doesn't ask you about that aspect of you. We don't have practice talking about that aspect of you. We have the practice of telling they want to know what you do for a living and how's your health, and that's what we want to hear about, but we don't talk about the universal aspect of you. No one ever asks that. So we don't know what to say. If I call it God, tell me about the God aspect of you, people shut down. They don't know what to say. They don't like the G word. Don't even use it. So tell me about the universal mind aspect of you. Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. If we call it Yahweh, some people don't understand. And so I love it when we have people here that sing the One Power song, because he gets up here and he says, call it God, call it Spirit, call it Jesus, call it Lord, call it Buddha, Baha'u'llah, angels' gates or heaven's door. Whatever name you give it, go ahead and announce that. We don't think of that aspect of ourselves. Society doesn't want us to talk about it. The funny thing about society is they want to look at you and they'll ask if you're a good church-going folk, but at the same time, don't tell me about the universal aspect of you. So it's interesting how they have that two-pronged thing. Mystics through the ages have been killed because they come in and tell you about the I aspect of them. Mystics through the ages are killed. Jesus, Gandhi, King, they went into society saying, there's something bigger here than the am of all of you. There's something bigger than the am of you. There is the I of you as well. And religions and governments don't like that. They don't like to tell that. They don't want you to tell how wonderful they can be. So, as a society, we feel comfortable killing those mystics. We don't want to hear about the I of us. We want you to fit in, and we want you to be an am. Society operates better if people don't feel so empowered. So please don't speak of these things of empowerment. So society doesn't let you talk about the I of you. Religions, up to coming to this one, don't want you talking about the I of you. So just where do you learn about the I of you? Where do we learn about the I of us? Until coming to a center such as this, you've had a small glimpse of it. Your first child that you've had, your wedding day, you may have sensed it when you accomplished something so much bigger than you. We sense it, but we're told as society to not allow it through. Don't let that come through. We are a society set up with laws based on the am aspect of you, and we don't know how to control the I of you. We know how to control the am of you. If you don't act like the rest of us, we'll throw you in jail. Now, the I of you is infinite, so I don't have all day to talk about that, because the am aspect of you is hungry. It wants to go to lunch. You want to go do all of that. So I'll do a limited talk about the I aspect of you, just so, like I said, that you can be fervent when somebody asks you that. And what I want to talk about is your omnis. The God aspect of you, or the substance of you, or that which is standing under you all the time, is mainly the three omnis: omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. Omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipotence. The ever-present greater aspect of you is the omnipresence. The ever-knowing aspect of you is the omniscience. And the ever-powerful aspect of you is the omnipotence. This is the color of the leaf that's been there all the time. You have that all the time. The red, the green, the yellow, that which is understanding, standing under you all the time, is all of those things. It's all present, all powerful, and all knowing. Omnipresence is everywhere present. Omnipresence, Ernest Holmes defines as the all-knowing, all-perceiving mind of God, is the omniscience. The omnipotence, the all-powerful one, God. So can you stand up here very comfortably and announce your I aspect of you? I am omnipresent, I am omniscient, I am omnipotent. Can you say that to your friends? You don't feel comfortable saying that to your friends. They don't want to hear that. The discomfort comes from society saying, turn away, turn away. So just what is this omnipresence of you? It's a presence that's greater than the am of you, but it's with you exactly at the same time. Omnipresence becomes omnipresent. We were just kind of talking about this out on the stoop before it comes on. The omnipresence of us is an idea or about us. So it's just like this podium right here. There was an idea about this podium. The omnipresence of God wanted to come and express as a podium. But now it is omnipresent. It is here. It's an idea of God in hard form. So it's the same thing. You go from omnipresence to omnipresent. Same thing with Seth. There's an idea of me, and now I am omnipresent. I have all of this with me. So the minute that we come up with an idea, the omnipresence is there with it. It's really wonderful. So this is what we were talking about. Was anybody over there for the demolition of the high-rise building yesterday morning? Just off of North Druid Hills. They had a big thing down there. Both John Karn and I wanted to meet out there because we wanted to see what an old idea looked like when you let go of it. What does an old idea look like when you let go of it? In an instant, it goes. But how long have we been holding on to that old idea? Do you all know that building, the AT&T building that was right there next to McDonald's? It's been there. It lost itself probably 20 years ago. It's been an empty building standing there for 20 years. But somebody was holding on to the idea of that building being there. The omnipresent aspect of it was still there all the time. God was still there all the time. But all of that is always there all the time until a new idea comes along. What's the new idea? Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. They want the land, they want the space, but they want to get rid of the building. That's the new idea. So the old idea that's been standing there for so long was gone in an instant only because you came up with a new idea. That's the same thing in our lives. What's standing very tall in your life and holding you up this tall, and it has been for many years, but it's just because I think that that's what needs to be there. Well, the minute that you come up with a new idea to replace whatever oldness you have going on there, it just falls down. It's demolitioned. It just falls away. So we studied about this in our Living Well class. It was really great to come up with this, and the Living Well book that we had, the workbook, talks about how the omnipresence is there within the idea. The minute you come up with the idea about, let me move into a different career, let me do that. So we come up with this idea, but I want you to understand, with the idea comes the understanding. The omnipresence of God is with the idea as well. But what happens with that when we say, okay, I want to move into the IT world. I want to become a dot-com company. I want to do that and everything. Immediately, the workbook is so funny because it draws a path of the way that we normally take with that. And it's kind of like this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Because all that we've done with the omnipresence with us, we didn't allow that to come through at all. We took the am aspect and thought, oh, let me think about how I need to have a dot-com company show up. Let me do this. I've read books about how to become a dot-com company. I'm supposed to go on TV and ask for money for my dot-com company because that's what everybody else is doing. I'm supposed to go to crowdfunding sources online because that's what everybody is doing. And then so do you see what you do with the am aspect of you as you go like this and you go like this? And the omnipresence of God is just sitting there in smiling repose, waiting for you to recognize that it's there. Waiting for you to understand something. So the book is really great. It has this great trail that's all like this. And finally it says, something happens here. And what that something happens is the recognition of the omnipresence of God. The presence of God right in there. Gant comes and sets up. He's one of our great volunteers. He's here early, 9 o'clock in the morning, setting everything up for you. And almost every Sunday morning, I'm listening to the Elvis gospel music coming in here. And this morning, the Elvis song that I was singing to Gant is, reach out to Jesus, he'll reach out to you. And it's the same thing with us, but I don't want to use the Jesus word because we all freak out. We don't want to talk about Jesus here. But the minute that you turn to spirit or omnipresence, omnipresent turns to you. If you reach out to Jesus, Jesus will reach out to you. That's all that song is saying. But also, too, what I learned is the minute that I take one step towards God, God takes 10 steps towards me. The minute I do that. But I'm over here in my am aspect going like this in the trail thinking this is everything I need to do, when all the time all I needed to do was stop and recognize and turn into that. So this is how you start a dot-com company. This is how you run a law firm. This is how you start a spiritual living center. And there are lots of AMs out there that are going to charge you to set all those up exactly the way all the other AMs are. So we need to start doing something and looking differently. We could sit there and say, instead of going all the way down this path that I go like this, like this, like this, I need to stop and recognize the omnipresence of God within me. So before I came to this teaching, I would go to the AM aspect of me, and I would go all the way down. I'd come to a path in the road with an idea, thinking, oh, this is great. And I took the AM path because it's like, I know how to do this. I know how to do this. There's a roadblock that says do not proceed. Oh, let's just keep going. And I go beyond that. There's barriers. I drive through those, and I go all the way down to the end of this road that's a dead end road because the AM aspect of me thinks that's the way that this is to unfold. Now, when I come up with an idea and I come to that fork in the road, sometimes I take that initial step over here to the AM aspect, but I step right back and say, let me recognize the omnipresence of God in the situation. Let me take one step towards that aspect of me, and it will take 10 steps. Then all of a sudden, I start going down this road. Something starts happening and changing when I start going down the other road on there. So I want you to sit there and announce the omnipresence within your firm, within everything that's going on. In my law firm, I walk in there all the time, and I announce the omnipresence of God that's there. They already know me there very well. But it's a different kind of law firm now. It's not like the rest of the law firms that are out there. But you're the one that needs to walk up and announce the omnipresence of God that's in there. When you go into a doctor's office and you're going in for a physical, and for us guys, they put on the gown and our butts hanging out and all of that. And for you girls, unfortunately, you're in the stirrups. And, you know, everybody that comes in wants to talk about the am aspect of you. Not a single one of them is going to talk about the I aspect of you. You're the one in that situation, back, coat open, in the stirrups. You're the one that has to understand the omnipresence of God is here in this room, because they're not going to say it. We're the ones that have to announce it. So we have to sit in that situation and announce it all the time. So the second O is omniscience, the all-knowing mind of God. All the wisdom of the universe is at your disposal right now. Everybody else thinks all the wisdom of the universe is in the palm of my hand because I've got an iPhone. And that's where all the answers of the universe are. That's where I'm at. Well, I want you to go to another aspect. There's an aspect of you within your mind and your heart that has all the answers. We don't rely on that. We don't want to rely on that. There's an aspect of you, the omniscient aspect of you, this is the I of you that I want you to announce, has all the answers all the time. I want you to be able to stand in a situation and people are coming at you and they're, what do you do, what do you do? And then you say, I don't know, but something within me does. Be sure to say that. Because if you walk into the room and say, what do we do, what do we do? And everybody says, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Then you sit in the room and everybody sits there and says, I don't know. But the minute one person in a room of 50 says, but the answer's here. The answer's right here in this room. We just need to come up with it. The minute somebody announces that, as you take that one step towards the answer, 10 things come to you of how that answer's to unfold. But we're the ones that have to announce it. The omniscience, the all-knowing mind of God, is ever available to us. It comes to us sometimes as intuition. The intelligence in an animal which directs its actions and tells it where to find food and shelter, we call that instinct. It's really omniscience, telling the animal how to take care of all those things. But the same quality, more highly developed, makes conscious appearance in us as intuition. So how does society like us to listen to our intuition? Not at all. We're still not going to talk to that. We're not going to allow our intuition. But intuition is God and man revealing him the realities of our being. So we've got to muster the allow the omniscience to come through, and we can call upon it. Just like I said, I don't know what the answer is, but something within me does. I even heard two talks on 45 records, for those of you that are too young. But I came across two 45s with Ernest Holmes speaking on them. And he talks exactly about this. He sits there and says, I don't know what the answer is, but something within me does. And his voice is magical. If you haven't heard Ernest Holmes' voice, it's absolutely magical. But then there's another 45 that sits there and says, never announce that you don't know. Never announce to the universe that you don't know. So you have to be very advanced to understand what he's saying. As long as you understand that the first is just this denial, and you're creating a vacuum for something new to come into it, go ahead, do that. But you need to understand that. So that's the omniscience. Something within you knows. Let go of the iPhone. Just put it down and understand something within you has the answer. Something within you has the answer. Now, the way that spirit works, it doesn't sit there and go, da, 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 this is the answer. The answer comes along and says, Ross, call your aunt in Charlotte. Call your aunt in Charlotte. And it's like, no, I'm sitting here treating for a space for a new church. And you give me, I listen to my intuition, and it says, call your aunt in Charlotte? That doesn't make sense, but let me listen to my intuition. And the intuition, you call your aunt in Charlotte, and the aunt says, well, haven't you talked to your cousins lately up there in Iowa? And it's like, I haven't talked to them in 25 years. You know, what's going on with that? You need to call your cousins in Iowa. So Ross calls his cousins in Iowa, and he says, yeah, this is what's going on in Atlanta. We're doing good. We got a church. We're growing. We need a new space. We're out of space, and I can't find any space. It seems like I'm going everywhere, and I can't find the space. So the cousin in Iowa says, you know what? I know a bank that has a huge auditorium that sits empty on Sundays. You can call the bank person to see if you can use that. That's exactly what happened with SLCA many, 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 many years ago. So when I sit there and say, you know, I sit here and go into the omniscience and I get an answer that says, call my aunt in Charlotte, what's the first thing we want to do? Shut it down. My Aunt Charlotte has nothing to do with me trying to get a bigger space. We shut it down. But listen to your intuition. And it might be twofold. It might not just be the aunt. It's got to be the cousin that's the second aspect of that. That's how omniscience is trying to show up through you. Or you can go to your iPhone and put in rental space, Midtown. And you can do that as well. I think what's going to show up is something more than exactly what Marilyn was saying with Monica's music. Something more and better is going to show up when you go through your intuition aspect and allow that to show up. So then we got the omnipotence. Do you know how powerful you really are? Do you really know how powerful you really are? I remember seeing a photo in the 60s. I know you can't believe that I'm that old, but I remember seeing a photo in the 60s. A woman picking up a VW bug to get her child out from underneath it. You might have seen the picture. Now, if I would have asked that woman in the morning if she could pick up a VW, what would her answer be? No. The am aspect of her was like, I can't even pick up the laundry basket to get over to the lawn. I can't even do that. But then 3 hours later, she's picking up a VW and getting her kid out from underneath it. Where does that power come from? Where does that strength come from? We all have that, but we don't think we do. So we don't exert it. But that's the omnipotence of God that's here trying to show up through our lives all the time, and we don't allow it. So the power of God is just not bodily strength either. It's the power behind all things that makes all things. It's this power all the time. It's the power within the law. When we understand we are not the power, but just invoking it, we can relax. Because if you sit here and announce up here about your dot-com company and all the energy that it's going to take for you to make that company do, you're going to get exhausted. You're just going to say, it takes hours and hours and hours and hours, and I'm going to be exhausted on there. But when you understand, when you invoke this other aspect of yourself in there, it takes the universal power and makes all of that unfold all the time. So that's what we need to understand about the power. The omnipotence of the universe has an endless supply of power to make that unfold. And the power is only for good in there. There are not two powers out there. If you think there's two powers out there, put your hand down, because there's not two powers out there. We think that the government's against us, so we think that's a power against us. We think the churches are against us, so we think there's a power out there. We think the corporations are against us, so we think there's a power out there. There's power in ISIS right now. We're giving power to ISIS. There's no power in ISIS. We're giving it. We think there is. There is no power in ISIS. There's only one power. The omnipotence of the universe is all that is there. We need to understand that. So the next time when I see you out there in the lobby and I ask you how you're doing, tell me more about how you're doing with your spiritual self than your chlorophyll-producing self. Tell me about the omnipresence of you, that wherever you go, there God is. That's what I want to understand. In my darkest hour, and I sense nothing. In your darkest hour, and you sense nothing, I want you to understand, I am not alone. I am not alone. And I want to share this with you because a very good friend of mine who has passed on was in the hospital, very sick, 3 a.m. in the morning, all by himself, and all he could say was, David, all I did was lie in bed saying, you just said that one thing. I am never alone. I am never alone. The omnipresence of God is right here with me. And it says, that got me through the night. That got me through the night. So when you understand that, you start bringing these in, and like I stated when we started, this spiritual understanding of ourselves, when we understand that, our lives change. So the next time you don't know the answer, announce that it exists. The next time you don't feel the presence of God, announce that it exists. The next time you feel powerless in any situation, announce the power of the universe is your power. You have the power, you have the courage to get through any situation. So the presence of God is there, the wisdom of God is there, the power of God is always at your disposal. So those were the three O's I wanted to tell you about, but Paul said, no, tell him about the fourth O. And I was like, oh, there's a fourth O? And he says, yeah, tell him about the omni-action of Spirit. The omni-action of Spirit. See how the activity of God shows up in your life. Really understand what's going on. The omni-action of Spirit is the activity of God. It's the law in motion that you have set. When the activity starts happening, we have set the law in motion. The action in your life is God. And if you don't like the action, guess what? Change the idea about it. Get another action going on in there. So understand that. And also, too, understand what happens with omni-action. We had a beautiful visioning meeting with all the practitioners yesterday over at the close to the demolition building over there. That's why we were over there in the morning. And so what we did is we allowed the omni-action of Spirit to come in here. So we all went into the visioning meeting the am aspect of us, as all practitioners were like, we're here to vision. We're here to set up what it is to be a practitioner and how powerful we are and how everything we're moving through here and all of that. But the omni-action of Spirit came in, and we ended up way over here in a heartfelt understanding of what it is to be a practitioner. Something magical happened, and we weren't tied to the outcome of what was happening. We were just kind of guided through that, and we ended up with something so much bigger than the am aspect, all of us as practitioners and how we can list as what it is to be a great practitioner within this center. Something happened. We allowed the omni-action of Spirit to take us there, or we could have stopped it and said, no, we don't want to go there. This is what we're here to do. This is what we're doing. The am aspect of us could have all changed that, but we didn't. We came back, and something so much greater happened. A, a, binding so much greater happen yesterday when we went through that. So that's what we need to understand with that. And finally, when I was preparing for this, another word that came up is omni-loving. The omni-loving aspect of God. God is forever loving on us. It is with you whom I am well pleased. That's the announcement to us. God is loving us. We are cradled in the arms of love, and we need to sense that. So leave here this morning, ooing and aahing over the color of the leaves, but know something greater is being shown to you right before your very eyes. The laws of nature are our laws. Those colors have been there all along, but as Emerson said, when you get your bloated nothingness out of the way, will the divine circuits start hitting on all circuits. So let your green down just a little bit, and let your true colors come shining through. Understand your elliptical with two cognitive foci. There's an individual aspect and the universal, the I and the am. There's the green, there's the colors. Remember, autumn leaves. God doesn't, and it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. So we take these words into a knowingness for ourselves. We do announce it to the universe that, yes, we love the amness of us. We all showed up, and we all have great fall clothes on, fall colors. We're in here, and we're announcing all of that. But we knew why we came to this place. We knew that we would stand up here and announce the I of each one of us, the greater aspect of our being that is here, ever-present, ever-knowing, ever-powerful, and announcing that as an aspect of our lives. Then we walk out of these doors this morning with this greater understanding of ourselves. We allow these two aspects of us, this underlying aspect that is just lying there in smiling repose, all-powerful, all-knowing, ready to come through in our lives. And we allow it to come through in our lives. We allow it to come through in our bodies as our health. We allow it to come through us in our finances as abundance. We allow it to come through us in our careers. We allow it to come through us as this omni-loving universe. We go out in love, not the way we individually love, but the way that the universe is loving. All I have is given to you. Everything is ours. And we need to walk out in this world understanding just how loved we are by the universe and start sharing that love with everyone else. We let go of the small aspects of ourselves, the things that are grabbing our attention and everything that we want to announce, the am-ness of ourselves, and give ourselves a greater understanding and come back to the I-ness of ourselves. Understand that I am. I am love. I am courage. I am wisdom. I am creativity. I am vitality, and I am abundance. The I am are those two aspects of ourselves coming through. We are the beloved, every single one of us. But we're the beloved because also, too, there's this under aspect of us that's supporting us and pushing us through our lives. We recognize that. We stand tall when we recognize that. We say those things even though they're socially unacceptable, but they're spiritually correct. That's the truth about ourselves. We give great thanks for this understanding, and when we walk out of these doors in just a few minutes, we will step out into new shoes than when we walked in here. We're walking into a greater understanding of our omnipresence, our omniscience, and our omnipotence. This is the truth for every single one of us, and so it is.